Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
What I want you to do right now, I want us to lift up a shout of victory. Now hear this before you do that. We don't shout for victory, we shout from victory. So I want you to assume a place of victory right now. And let your victory shout express who you are in Christ. Are you ready? Go ahead and give the Lord a shout. Come on. 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 Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Welcome to two people. Tell them this is your year of walking in light and walking in dominion. Amen. Amen. You may have your seat. Glory to God. Audacity, you guys are on fire. Woof. Woof. Praise the Lord. Very quickly, if you have your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Two Sundays ago, I began a teaching on spiritual fervency. And the objective of that teaching is to bring you to a place where you are zealous and you respond to the promptings of the Spirit and the things that God would desire that you do and accomplish this year. So I will continue from where I stopped 2 weeks ago. We took a text from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Then verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Next verse. Now let's read verse 19 together. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. There's another one. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from evil. All right. If you use the King James Version, it says, prove all things. Prove all things. Now, going back to verse 19, which says, do not quench the Spirit. The Bible says, do not quench the Spirit, not to suggest to you that you can quench the Holy Spirit. Nobody can quench the Holy Spirit. But the original Greek translation says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not quench the move of the Spirit. So that's what it's saying. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit in his person. But it says, do not quench the Spirit's fire. And I explained to you some time ago that the word quench suggests that there was an ongoing practice. So you cannot use the word quench if nothing was done before. You can't look at an unbeliever and say, do not quench the Spirit. He never had the Spirit of God. But you can see someone who is born again, probably operated in some dimensions of the Spirit, and tell the person, do not quench the Holy Spirit, or do not quench the demonstrations or the move of the Holy Spirit. Right? So if you look at this church, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church and he gave this instruction. I want to suggest strongly that in this church, there was an excessive manifestation of the Spirit that was in some form of abuse. So you have some sober-minded leaders who would try to put a caution on the excesses of the manifestations of the Spirit. I don't know if you were born into a denomination where you thought that the move of the Holy Spirit was excessive. I don't know if you've ever seen people like that or you yourself were in such denominations. But there are some people who look at what we do and call it excessive. For example, speaking in tongues is excessive to some people. Rejoicing in the Holy Spirit is excessive to some people, right? When they see prophecies or what have you, the dimensions of the Spirit. They might call it excessive. So you have a sect of conservative people who don't believe that the Holy Ghost can be in operation today. So Paul says, do not quench the Spirit, because he's telling them, I understand your mind when it comes to dealing with excess, but let's think about something very keenly. You know, it is somehow to deal with excesses from another extreme. It's a problem when you try to solve an extreme using an extreme. And you notice many people are positioned in extremes because of an extreme situation that has happened to them. You find it very commonly. Let me bring this down to how it relates to you. For example, somebody is hurt, and that person who is hurt cannot trust again. You see, it might not be anything recent. It might be something that has happened in the past. But you see, that assault or that betrayal or that hurt, right, that happened to that person has affected the ability of that person to trust. And if you notice, people who don't trust, they usually like to be in control. Have you seen that before? Yes. So there's a strong relationship between control and a lack of trust. And the lack of trust is, you know, coming from somewhere. Fear is the root of the lack of trust. So I usually tell people that whenever you are dealing with a lack of trusting ability, you should seek to learn how to trust, not because of the person you're trusting, but because of you, so that it will be said you have the ability at least to trust. Because trusting speaks of a faithful behavior. The house is so quiet today. Are you following what I'm saying? So the ability to trust speaks of the fact that you can have faith, or you can be positive about things. You will find out that people who don't trust are usually negative, because they expect the worst before they expect the best. Okay? They tell you no before they tell you yes. Even when they can do it, they feel their default answer is no. Then when they think about what they just said, something tells them it's not fair. Say yes. So they go back to say yes. Have you been in that situation before? Or have you encountered people like that before? Maybe you are even one of them. That's why you are quiet today in church. All right? So I find out that people who have been assaulted by extreme situations position themselves in an extreme response to things. And you must watch it that you are never in the extreme of things. You are always in the balance of things. Are you following what I'm saying? Someone who is hurt all of a sudden just begins to live in fear, and you don't see possibility because you are hurt the first time. And there is no trust, there is fear. And you know, the Bible says God has not given you the spirit of fear. He's given you the spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. So it is the same way, right? It is the same way Paul was addressing this church. And he told them, quench not the spirit. Because to tell someone quench not the spirit means that there was already a practice of something that he's saying do not quench. There might be some of you here listening to me, and there was a practice of something you stopped. There was a practice of something you quenched over time, and you just realized that you did not respond to certain promptings. I will come to promptings in a bit. So Paul says, don't quench the spirit. Don't put out the spirit's fire. I like the way the NIV puts it. It says, don't put out the spirit's fire. So that things are excessive doesn't mean you shouldn't be in the balance. Amen, somebody. So he goes on to say that when you do this, you will find out that you are responding to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm saying this because I want everybody to understand that God has given you certain promptings in your spirit. Let me explain what I mean. There is no believer who doesn't have an amount of zeal. You can't find. There is no believer who doesn't have an amount of zeal. The way Paul describes it, he says, who has redeemed us from all iniquity and has purified us to himself, a peculiar people, zealous for good works. I think that's Titus chapter 2, verse 14. So he says that a people purchased and redeemed have been purified for good works. Now, it means that zeal is part of the package for the redeemed. If you are redeemed of God, you must have a natural level of zeal. I'm talking about spiritual fervency. Help me drop the volume because I'm hearing some feedback. I'm talking about not too much, but just a little bit. I'm talking about spiritual fervency because in 2024, you're going to burn for Jesus more than ever before. Make that amen louder so that I know you're the one I'm talking about. Fantastic. Now, everybody has a level of zeal. Everybody has a level of zeal. Look at what he says. He also says something in, I think it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. This is not part of my message, I will go, but I'm just trying to give you some preamble. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. He says that the Lord, Paul prayed for them, that the Lord give you power to accomplish all the things that your faith prompts you to do. It means that there is a prompting in your inside. Now, let me explain this. Walking in the Holy Spirit is you following a prompting from the Holy Spirit. So it is actually not difficult to walk in the Spirit because you cannot walk in the Spirit without the Spirit's promptings first. The Holy Spirit will prompt you and you will just follow. So I'm saying quench not, because you would have been having certain nudgings and promptings in your heart about certain regards when it comes to spiritual things. It is up to you to accept it or to stifle it. You know, have you heard the statement before? God will do what only God can do. Have you heard that statement before? Or have you heard that concept before? God will do only what God can do, regardless of you. Now, that's not an absolute statement because, you see, yes, God will do what he wants to do regardless of you. It happens sometimes, but it doesn't happen all the time. Because there are times where you can stop what God wants to do. There are people who can resist the move of God, people who can resist a prompting, people who can resist a leading in their heart. So I want you to understand that every believer, somebody say with me, say every believer. Every believer has a measure of leading and prompting to do the things of God and the things of the Spirit. Zeal is natural to you as a believer. Paul says something in Colossians. He said, whereunto I labor. He says, whereunto I labor, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily. This is Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. He says, whereunto I labor, striving. Now, look at the word striving and look at the word working. Yeah. So, he says, striving according to his working. So, it means that in you, there is a working going on. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, every believer has a working going on inside of him. But it is up to you now to respond to the working. So Paul is saying that my measure of labor and my measure of striving is in accordance to a leading that is already inside of me. If I don't have a leading, maybe that's the reason why I'm not even doing it. But there is also the case where people are just not sensitive to certain promptings. And in 2024, in certain seasons, you would have promptings for some things that only you knows about. And it will be up to you and your benefit to follow the leading of those things. You know what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? He says, I am crucified with Christ. It is not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. You see, when I looked at that scripture, it made me realize that somebody is living inside me. It made me understand that you are not in control, okay, if the Spirit's work is going to be actualized. Hear me. If you have never felt the leading to give, you've never felt the leading to pray, you've never felt the leading to love, you've never felt the leading to serve, you've never felt the leading to forgive, you are over-controlling. Take it from me. You are over-controlling because there is a part of you that is not you living. See what Paul says. He says, and the life which I now live, he's not talking about before. He says, the life which I now live, I live by, not me, but by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul says that there is a force that is working inside of me. All I do is just respond to that prompting. So there will be a time in your life you would realize that there is a call to pray. You just feel a certain soberness of mind. You just feel that withdrawal in your spirit. Not because you can't pray all the time. I mean, we're commanded to pray all the time. But there will be certain times where the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray. And you know it's time to pray. And you know you should pray. But it's, you know, it's up to you to follow that leading. Because when you follow that leading, guess what happens? There is a supply of the Spirit to follow it up. There is a backing of the Spirit to actually do what you are prompted to do. So walking in the Spirit is easy because you first of all have the promptings of the Spirit. The promptings of the Spirit helps you walk in the Spirit. That's why you see sometimes it's easy to give. You just give and you're not feeling bad. You're not feeling pressured. You're not feeling like you're disadvantaged. You know it's time to love. And in your mind, something is telling you, loving does not make sense now because this person has not told me sorry. But there is a supply of the Spirit to actually love. Talk to me, somebody. So I'm telling you now, it says, do not quench the Spirit. Because quenching the Spirit is saying no to a prompting. You will feel the prompting. You know, there are times where the Holy Spirit leads you, right? And you are not conscious that you are being led. But there are other times that you are conscious you are being led. Are you for? Did you hear what I said? So you probably take a step and you realize in retrospect, oh, I was actually led by the Spirit. I didn't know why I was doing this. I didn't know when I was doing this. And if you look back at, you know, you look back at things and you realize that I was really led. But there are other times where the promptings come and you know you are led. It's up to you to now follow the leading of the Spirit. You know what you do for me? Tell 2-3 people around you. Tell them, I will follow the promptings of the Spirit this year. Now tell yourself, I will follow the leading of the Spirit this year. Every believer has it, oh. Every believer. There's no believer who doesn't have it. There is no believer. You know, someone told me something that if a believer is not walking in the will of God, he most likely is walking in rebellion. Because he would somehow know what God's will is. Except you are the one who is just choosing to block your ear. He would know because God is a master communicator. God knows how to tell you what he wants to tell you. And God is not tired of telling you. God is not tired of saying, he won't say because I told you in one way and you refuse to hear, I won't bother telling you again. He will find a way to tell you. He would use Arise News. You would open the newspapers. You will see God's voice. You will go to pray. Your wife will tell you. Your best friend will call you. He will tell you. Sometimes people will say things and they are connected. God is talking to you. Are you following what I'm saying? So quench not the Spirit this year. Do not quench the leadings of the Spirit this year. The Bible says when you hear the voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't come to that. And I realize that a lot of people don't follow promptings because of a mentality. There's actually a reasoning that stops it. For example, the Holy Spirit can tell you, it's time to rejoice. And you begin to feel the bubbles in your spirit. You just know that there is a grace to be at peace right now. And your mind can be a distraction because you are thinking, rejoicing right now does not make sense. Because if I rejoice, it doesn't get what I am trying to get done. So let me focus on what needs to be focused on first, and then the rejoicing can come later. But you may not know that that's not the wisdom of God, because there's a supply of the Spirit. Just rejoice at that time. There's a supply of the Spirit to do it. And you know, I read something about rejoicing. It says that count it all joy. Come on, church. It says, count all joy when you go through diverse temptations, right? Knowing that the trial of your faith works out patience. Then he goes on to say, but let patience have its perfect and thorough work on you. It means don't quench that work of patience. Don't quench that leading. You see, so some of you think rejoicing is the aftermath of the solution, but you don't realize that many times rejoicing is the key. Rejoicing is the door that opens you up into more. Because the Bible says with joy, you draw from the wells of salvation. So rejoicing many times is your way out. It's your way out. So don't listen to logic many times. So harden not your heart when it comes to promptings, the promptings of the Spirit. So Paul says, he established it very clearly that every believer must know. You will feel something. You know, and this prompting, let me break it down. It's not always God is talking to you now. I'm just trying to act God talking to you. And then you wake up, Pastor, God spoke to me. I had a dream. Some of you, if you don't see light, you won't believe God is talking to you. Do you know what the Bible says? It says that you have entertained angels and you don't even realize. Sometimes God came and you didn't know it was God. God came in the form of your house girl. You didn't know it was God. God came in the form of the Uber driver. You didn't know it was God. Because you are looking for white garment. Sorry. What is that? You are looking for somebody with feather. Feather. He has to flap. And then says, peace be unto you. Blessed are you amongst women. No, the time he said it, he has passed. Your own has a different intro. Amen. Yours has a different introduction. I mean, the Holy Spirit can minister to you in any way. All right? So, the leading of the Spirit of God is a possibility with every believer. Paul says, I strive according to the working which works mightily in me. He says, there is a work going on mightily. Look at what the Bible says, Philippians. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But he doesn't stop there. He now goes on to say, for it is God who what? Works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So there is nothing God wants you to work out this year that he hasn't given you the supply of the Spirit. You would have a backing supply of the Spirit to do it. If there is any good thing you have set out to do this year, I want you to know that there is a supply of the Spirit for every good venture. Are you following me now? There is a supply of the Spirit for something positive. As long as it's God telling you, he's going to give you grace to do it. It is impossible to live the life of the believer or the Christian without the help of the Holy Spirit. Go and read Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 shows you the impossibility to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. You can't. But if you now read Romans chapter 8, you see the possibility and the ease with which you can do the things of the Spirit by the help of the Spirit. It now goes on to say, therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh. Because in the flesh you can't perfect spiritual things. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of human sin, for sin, condemned sin. Alright? On the cross. And then he goes on to say, you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. So when people say, I'm in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit is not an attitude. I'm in the Spirit is not when you raise your shoulder and you walk like spirit that you've not even seen before. I'm in the Spirit does not mean to frown your face. You can be smiling and be in the Spirit. You can even be cracking jokes and be in the Spirit. All right? You can be praying. You are in the Spirit. Some people pray in the flesh. So don't be confused about to be in the Spirit is a position. So it's not first an attitude. It's a position first. And that position is because you are born again. So it says the moment you are born again, you are now in the Spirit. You are no longer in the flesh. And it goes on to say in verse 14 that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It tells you that believers can be led by the Spirit of God. You're going to get promptings. Sometimes you just know it's time to speak. Sometimes you would hear in your spirit, it's time to be still. It's time to be quiet. Don't make a sound. Sometimes you want to talk back, but the Holy Spirit will say, maintain your peace. The Holy Spirit will tell you, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you just feel it. Promptings, promptings, promptings. You know, in the Old Testament, they were led by prophets. God, through diverse means, all right, he spoke to the fathers by the prophets, Hebrews chapter 1, but has in these last days spoken to us, past tense, spoken to us by his son. So in this dispensation, we are led by the Holy Spirit. All right? You're not led by a pastor who wants to put you under control. Pastors don't like this one, but it's the truth. And I will say the truth. No pastor should put anybody under control. You know, and that's what Paul was saying, because there were some leaders in this Thessalonian church who were trying to, out of sober-mindedness, control the dimensions of the Spirit. To say, hey, this thing you do, laughing in the Holy Ghost, falling under the anointing, speaking in tongues, what is all that drama? He says, no, it goes further to say, do not despise prophecies. Don't despise prophetic words. You know, some people just say, you know what, I just want to hear the word, but don't tell me, thus says the Lord, so I don't want to hear prophecies. He says, no, don't despise prophecies. You know, for some people, they have heard prophecies over and over. So saying another prophecy doesn't make sense. But the Bible says, do not despise prophecies. Talk to me. He says, don't despise it. Don't despise the move of the Spirit. You know, someone falls under the anointing and then you start laughing at the person. It's not everybody who falls. Let me tell you. 90% of people who fall under the power are not possessed. In fact, many of them are actually filled with the Spirit. So, falling under the anointing is good. Paul fell under the power on his way to Damascus. So, you see some people saying, all these people who, I no go follow me. I no go me. If I make pastor push me, you go see my leg like this, I no go fall. It's because you don't understand the move of the Spirit. You don't understand. You don't see, sometimes when you fall under the power, it's because God is doing a work. And you know, you don't rush to get up. You just stay there and just receive all that he has for you. See, I desire to fall under the power. Come and lay hands on me now. Praise God, somebody. But it's not just falling under the power. Is it anything that is of spiritual expression, supernatural expression, don't despise it. All right? So this year, my word for you is, you will see promptings. You will hear leadings of the Spirit. You will feel the direction in your heart. But you know what? Don't quench it. Don't quench it. Because there's a supply for it. Are you following me now? There's a supply. It is given to you. And some of those promptings will not come, just like I was saying, bolan le, 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 le. No. For some of you, it will just be like, I feel like doing this thing. That's the prompting. For some of you, it can just be your heart is somewhere. And your heart is not shifting on that thing. God is talking to you. And it's repetitive. You would know. And you all know how God talks to you, right? Because by experience, you must have figured out how God speaks to you. So you will tell the promptings. And he says, don't quench it. Don't quench the Spirit this year. Ooh, you know what I sense? There is an anointing to supplicate and pray. It is moving all over the house. You know why I said that? I said that because there are some things God wants to do that will happen when you pray. It's not everything that God does that happens compulsorily by prayer. Some things, out of his sovereignty, out of his mercy, out of your right positioning, you don't even need to pray about it, it happens. But there are some things that when you pray, you see them. So it's important to follow the leadings to pray. And something I'm going to tell you today, right, is that You must be sensitive to yearnings to prayer this year. Ooh, God is calling you to deeper waters. So, deeper waters. Deeper waters. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I love that scripture. It says that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Hey, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Do you know what prayer is? Prayer is you calling Daddy. So that word prosecure in the Greek, prosikomai, something like that. It says, whereby we receive. It speaks of fervency in James chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17. You see that the fervent prayer of the righteous makes tremendous power available, right? So you can see prayer emphasized in James 5, 17. But in that scripture that I just read to you, you can see the informality. There's an informality to prayer. Let me help you. When you want to pray, does not automatically mean it's time to close your eyes, squeeze your face, and do like this. Prayer is you talking to God. Prayer is you talking to your Father. If I achieve more prayer time with you this year, I've done what I want to do. Can I read a scripture for you? I won't preach my message today. I think this is fine. I'll come back again. You know, I've been coming back since and I've never come back. God help me, you know. Matthew 26, verse 38. Then he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Let me tell you something. People who are mourning, right, it's a difficult place to be, but I always advise them not to stay too long there. Because Satan can use anything. He takes advantage of anything. So it's difficult. People have different ways they deal with grief, and I understand it. But the best antidote to depression is prayer. You can't be a man of prayer and your mind won't be stable. You can't be a woman of prayer and your mind won't be stable. It's almost impossible. So I found out, look at what happened to Jesus. He said, then he said, he was about to die. So he says, then he said to the disciples, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Next verse. He went a little further and fell on his face. Now, you see the informality he prayed to God. So I'm connecting that scripture I read, Romans chapter 8, verse 15, where it says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. So that Abba Father is Daddy, Daddy. You see, if you own a business here and you have people working under you, now you will find out that your staff members have a level of caution and respect in their dealings with you. All the formalities are observed. But if your son comes in there, he breaks a lot of... Daddy, it is Daddy. You are boss, but you are Daddy to somebody. God is his fury when it comes to Satan. But that same fury showing his side to Satan, at the back of it is so much of love for you. So he is Daddy to you, but he is judgment to the works of the devil. So the informality to prayer helps your prayer life, that you are able to just pray without the, you know what I mean, right? Without all the, sometimes all those things are the work before the prayer. It's just like they told you, solve an equation and you use Almighty formula. Almighty formula is first confusing you before the question. The formula is a problem. You don't even know what the formula is. You don't know what D is. You don't know what Y is. You don't know what anything is, right? And then you're now saying solve a problem. You are in trouble because it's double problem. So sometimes the whole mindset of the way you pray is enough to stop you from praying. I need to clear my schedule to pray. You don't need to clear your schedule to pray. You can pray on schedule. You can pray on the spot. See, Nehemiah was talking to the king and he was talking to God. Go and read Nehemiah. You will see it. While he was answering the king, he was also talking to God. So there are some times you are praying. Nobody around you knows you are praying. But in your heart, you are talking to God. God, this shall not be so this year. No, this is not the agreement we had. I come into plenty things. I come into grace. I come into peace. I come into joy. You are saying it yourself. You are taking your shower. You are blasting in tongues. So now you tell me, is that the time to tie her tie? Let us pray. Yeah? Where is my gele? Does it make sense? He's your dad. There's an informality to conversation with him. See what Jesus did. The Bible says, Jesus, I love this. He says, Jesus excused himself. Look at that. He excused himself. You know, some of you, you will gist with your friends. You'll be stuck in the gist. And you'll be carried away by the talk of the problem and never addressing the problem. You don't know how to withdraw. Jesus told his disciples, stay here. And he went. So you must be able to excuse yourself. You must be able to say, give me one moment. He said, boss, okay, there is problem. Blah, 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 blah. Say, okay, I've heard you. Just give me 5 minutes. I'll get back to you. Lord, we have an agreement. And you speak what you know God has told you in his word. And you call back again and you say, all things shall be well. That is how to talk from a source. You understand what I'm saying now? So Jesus, he knew how to excuse himself. Some of you don't know how to excuse yourself. You just get stuck in there. You just get carried away by what you're seeing. But learn how to withdraw. Learn how to move further and say, you know what, I'm going to do the needful. And when you actually see how he did it, the Bible says that he fell on the floor. It's an informality. I can't just wait to be with you. It's an informality in prayer. And that's the way God wants you to deal this year. Don't pray as though you are burdened to pray. Or pray as if there must be certain ritual to observe in prayer. Prayer can be any. And don't laugh at people when they are praying. Stop it. Are you following what I'm saying? If you see somebody pray like this, leave the person. You pray your own. Pray your own. Don't laugh at anybody. Don't judge anybody's prayer. There are people who pray, and the way they pray is like this. The way they pray, leave their own. Focus on your own. You are good at talking about how other people pray. You even know how to cram tongues. You know how to speak tongues the way Pastor Paul speaks. Oh, Pastor Victor. You know, I listen to all of them. But it's important you pray your own. You see, the way these people pray is wrong. They shake their head when they pray. Is it your head? Number one. Number two, are they praying to you? If your own is like this, Lord, you know, I just want to thank you. Pray like that. Praise God. But you see, there is a level of fervency that comes in prayer. And at some point, you won't be able to control some things. Ooh, if you've gotten there before, where you are praying and you are overtaken by the Spirit, you become full of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes only you in the room, goosebumps everywhere. Am I talking to people who experience these things? If that was a... Yeah, thank you, Paul. Come. So I can end. I have flight to catch in the next 2 hours. If that was your experience before, and then you notice that has not been in a while, he says you have quenched something. You have stopped something. Go back to those things. You know, he says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. To despise means to feel that you are above something. You know, some of you feel you are above church now. Olomaje. That is original backslide. You are backsliding. You see, in those days, we served in those ways. Now, you know, we've moved on to other things now. Wakoyo, we're done. He says, don't despise the things of God. Never get there where you despise the things of God. And you know, people who despise the things of God, they start to mock people who are passionate. See, it will be a problem if you are mocking something you were once passionate about. Then you should know you are in trouble. You better go back and retrace your steps. You see what I'm saying? Jesus started with prayer. He ended with prayer. He continued with prayer. He ended with prayer. I was talking to a dear man of God, a great man of God. And I asked him a question. I said, when did you know the seasons shifted for you? And how did it happen? He said, Kai, Pastor Phil, this one, I will tell you, I spent time to pray. I said, amazing. So I said, now that the season has shifted, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying more. I said, you are a wise man. Because if you ignore the things that brought you somewhere, just because you think you have arrived. You know how many of us, especially those of us who are pastors, who are mature, when they call for fasting, you believe it's for the flock. As senior pastor, I do the fast. I will fast. If Pastor Paul says, this is the schedule, I will fast. I will do it because I'm the one who should be the example. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because one of the ways we do things this year, I've told all the workers and the leaders, I say, let us live by example. The thing you ask yourself is, can your life be replicated? Do you want somebody to be like you? Do you want someone to copy you? If copying you will make somebody grow, then tell yourself you are doing the right thing. Lead by example. So follow the promptings this year. Are you following what I'm saying? The spirit of supplication will rest upon you. And you will just know that it's time to do some things. It's time to wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You are in trouble if your public prayer life is better than your private prayer life. I'll end on this point. See, some of us don't know how to say our prayer life in the private does not exist. But when we gather, you know how to act it. Now, there might be simple reasons why that happens, but there's also a complex reason. Simple reason can be that you are inspired by the faith and the presence of others. I understand that. But a more complex reason, which can be problematic, which you should pay attention to, is where you are trying to be hypocritical about prayer and you're not seeking for help. See, Jesus said something. He said that when you pray in the private, God rewards in the open. I like the way he puts it. He says, the Father sees you. So if you believe that the Father is seeing you, your private prayer life will be better. So you know what I want you to do? I want you to develop a habit to seek for more private time to pray than even the public. But you know, it doesn't mean that if you come in the public, you won't say, no, I don't want to pray because I don't want to pretend. That's not what I'm saying. It's even better you pray in the public if you're not praying in the private. It's at least to help you. Don't say, Pastor, say, I know I'm pretend for this church. It's time to pray. You just see the person standing. I'm not praying for weekend now. Why am I going to deceive myself with everybody? I'm a very honest person. No, that's not what I said. Still pray. But I'm telling you, strive. Come on, somebody. Labor. Strive according to the working that is working mightily in you. There'll be a time in your private time, there's a call to pray. Go and pray. When I realized that God sees me when I'm alone, when I pray, he sees me. It helped my personal prayer life. He sees you. Do you know if you are seeing God physically, many of you will pray for long. Have you thought about it? If you see God physically, if he appears to you, behold, I am Jehovah. Starts. Many of you will really pray. You have many things to tell God. Now they say, go and pray. Problem. Seek time privately. Don't despise praying. Because I want you to burn for Jesus. You know what? When you are alone, the first thing you should think about is prayer. When you are alone, the first thing you should think about is prayer. Let it help you. We will continue from where we stop. Is that okay? Lift your hands, everybody. Lift your hands. There's a spirit of grace and supplication upon you right now. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. The spirit of grace and supplication rest upon you. The spirit of grace and supplication rest upon you. Rest upon you. Rest upon you. There is a prompting that is working in you. There is a stirring on your inside. There is the renewing of a passion on your inside. It says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophecies. All right? And then it goes on to say, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all evil. Open your mouth and begin to receive right now. You have the supply of the Spirit. The supply of the Spirit to communicate with your Father. The supply of the Spirit. The anointing of God's hand is upon you.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.